Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Yoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are towards the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17 in Sefer Yehoshua. We just saw chapter 16, the portion assigned to Ephraim. And now in chapter 17, we are seeing the portion assigned to Menashe. And Pasuk Gimel, sentence 3. Right after, I should go back to sentence 2. Sentence 2 told us the families. It enumerated the families of Menashe: Aviezer, Chelek, Asriel, Shechem, Chefer, and Shemida. And then it tells us in Pasuk Gimel, V'litzlav Chod ben Chefer ben Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe, lo hayu lo banim ki im banos. Slavchad, son of Chefer, son of Gilad, son of Machir, son of Menashe, did not have any sons. He only had daughters. Ve'ele shmos benosav, and here is the list of their names: Machla, Benoah, Chogla, Milka, Visir, Tzav. Five names that are familiar to us from their appearance in the Chumash. And the story is, Vatekravna lefnei Elazar ha-Kohen v'lefnei Yoshua ben-Nun v'lefnei ha-Nesi'im. They come to Elazar, Kohen Gadol, Yoshua, leader, Nesi'im, Lemor, saying, Hashem tziva es Moshe l'aseis lanu nachala b'soch achenu. We thought they were done in the Chumash. We learned all about them in the Chumash, but we didn't actually see the execution of the promise made to them in the Chumash. Remember the story? Back in Parshas Pinchas, they saw the beginnings of the process of deciding who is going to divide up the land. And they came to Moshe and they said, our father died in the Midbar. He did not have any sons. Why should our family be erased? And Moshe went back to Hashem and asked what to do. And Hashem said, yeah, no, they're supposed to get land. Whole discussion of why that law had to wait until Tzlavchad's daughters came to ask the question. Nonetheless, that's the way it's presented back in the Torah and Parshas Pinchas. They showed up again when there was a concern from other members of their shevet, other members of their tribe, because in the event that they would get married and they would marry a man from a different shevet, then they would have kids, the portion of land they had received that was their father's portion from Menashe would go to the kids who would be associated with their husband's Shevet, because tribal identity was patrilineal. The separate discussion about Jewish identity being matrilineal, that's its own discussion, but tribal identity was based on the identity of the father. So if they married somebody from the tribe of Dan, let's say, their kids would be associated with the tribe of Dan, and their land would then pass into the tribe of Dan. So there was a ruling issued that, in fact, in that generation, women who inherit land should marry within their shevet, should marry within their tribe. Whole discussion about whether that applied to the daughters of Tzlavchad or not, and who they married, did it apply beyond that generation, the Gemara at the end of Tanis, not our discussion right now. But at that point, we're done with the story of Benot Tzlavchad in the Chumash, but now we get to Yoshua chapter 17, and lo and behold, they come to Elazar, and they come to Yoshua, and they come to the Nisim, and they say, Hashem tziva es Moshe l'aseis lanu nachala b'soch achenu. Hashem told Moshe to give us a portion among our brothers. No drama. Hashem gave them, Yoshua gave them a portion, as Hashem had said, among the brothers of their father. There are some interesting notes, though, to make here. First of all, just the language that's used for them here is so obviously a callback to the language that's used in the Chumash, so that when you get the census in Parshas Pinchas, in chapter, it's Bamidbar chapter 26, sentence 33, it says, Tzlavchad ben Chefer lo hayu lo banim ki im banos, v'shem banos Tzlavchad machla benoach hagla milka v'sir tza. Listen to the language here. V'litzlavchad ben Chefer ben Gila ben Machir ben Menashe lo hayu lo banim ki im banos, ve'ele shmos benosav machla benoach hagla milka v'sir tza. The language is almost the same. The only difference is that that here we get a lineage going all the way back to Menashe. Tzlavchad ben Chefer ben Gila ben Machir ben Menashe. It did not appear in the census in Bamidbar 26. However, in Bamidbar 27:1, when they actually approach Moshe, it says Vatekravna b'dos Tzlavchad ben Chefer ben Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe l'mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef. So we are told the daughters of Tzlafchad, and we get the whole lineage, it even goes one generation further back, to identify Menashe as Menashe ben Yosef. And then again, it lists the names of the daughters. Interesting note as well. Here in our text, it says they come to Elazar and to Yehoshua and the Nesiim, and it says Vatik Ravna. So two things worth noting. First of all, Vatik Ravna only appears twice in Tanakh. I'm aided by the Bar Ilan CD-ROM to be able to confirm that. The word Vatik Ravna only shows up twice. Once by Mibre 27, when the Benos Slavchad show up the first time, Vatik Ravna, Benos Slavchad, Ben Chefer, and so on. And here, Vatik Ravna, they do it as well here. That's number one. Number two, the first time round, it said they stood in front of Moshe, in front of Elazar, Kohen Gadol, and in front of the Nesiim and the nation. And here, it says they stand in front of Elazar, and in front of Yehoshua, and in front of the Nesiim. Doesn't mention the nation, but it's an interesting little deja vu thing going for Elazar as the Kohen Gadol, that he's present for both conversations. In any case, the language is very clearly a callback to Bamidbar chapter 26, chapter 27. Why do we present all of their yichus, all of their lineage here? So one answer is given in Bamidbar, which doesn't work here, which is that it's because we want to link them to Yosef, because Yosef has great love for Eretz Yisrael. He wants to make sure that he's going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. This is brought in the Sifri Bamidbar, Kuf Lamed Gimel, Sifri Zutachav Zayin Aleph. We want to associate with Yosef. They were like Yosef. Of course, that doesn't apply here, because here we did not call out Yosef. We only went back to Menashe. The other answer, though, in Bamidbar Rabbah, Chaf Aleph Yud Aleph, does apply here, which says that it's a credit to the family as a whole that they produced such great women, so we're going to list all of those generations. Okay. The name order, just as a parenthetical note, is also interesting, because they are listed at various times in Chumash and then here, and there are different lists that are used for their names. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Chaf Amad Aleph, says that that's because they were all equal. They all have the same standing, the same stature. However, the Gemara there also gives you a different answer, which is that one set of names, one listing of the names, is based on age order, to say that Bimisiba, literally at a feast. So you would give the elder food first, so that's why I use that order, as opposed to the other order that's used is based on wisdom, is based on who was the greatest. This is best known for the fact that Rashbam says, when it says that you go based on age at a misibah, that means when they get married, which is taken by some to be an endorsement of Lavan's position that you're supposed to marry off the eldest first. That's its own discussion. We had a shiur on that on Thanksgiving morning at Shul. I'm not going to go into that discussion right now. So they come to Yehoshua, Elazar, and the Nesiim, and Yehoshua says, okay, no problem. Then the text continues, though, and it says, Pasuk Hey, Vayiplu Chavle Menashe Asara. There were 10 portions that were given to Menashe, Levad Me'eretz HaGilad V'Bashan Asher Me'ever LaYarden, aside from the land that was east of the Yarden. Kibinos Menashe Nachalu Nachala B'Soch Banav, because the daughters of Menashe received a portion among his sons, the Eretz HaGilad Aysalev Ne Menashe No Sarim, and Gilad went to the rest of Menashe. So what's interesting here is the fact that we are enumerating and saying, literally enumerating, we are saying there are 10 portions. We don't normally list the number of portions. We count cities. We haven't listed other Nachalos, other portions. Also, this whole thing about listing Benos Slavchad, why are we breaking them out from their father Chefer's portion? So Malbim says there's nothing to see here. Malbim says it says there are 10 portions. That means there are 10 geographic areas that are being assigned, and that's really, you know, there isn't anything else of interest to talk about as far as Malbim is concerned. However, the Gemara says no. The Gemara Bava Basra Kuf Yuches Amud Beis says that actually it's because there are 6 brothers originally, right? We listed each of them. We said Aviezer, Chelek, Asriel, Shechem, Chefer, and Shemidah. And then the daughters of Tzlavchad actually receive 4 portions according to the Gemara. They got their father's share, meaning Slavchad's share, with his brothers in Hefer's lot. That's number one. So they're getting their father Tzlafchad's portion. And number two, Tzlafchad is the oldest of Hefer's sons. And therefore, they're getting his share as a Bechor, as a firstborn. So they're getting a double portion. In addition, Tzlafchad had a brother who died during Hefer's lifetime, but had emerged from Egypt and therefore had a right to his own portion. So that portion went back to Hefer, and then they got a share in it when Hefer died. Because they also got their father's regular share. Right, the way it works is that they got their father, Slavchad's, regular share as somebody who left Egypt. They got Slavchad's portion of Hefer's lot. Hefer meaning Slavchad's father. They got his portion of that. They got his double portion of that because he's a firstborn. And in addition, they also got the portion that Slavchad should have received from his brother's property. So there are four portions that go to them. And that is separate from the six lots that are going to the six brothers at the senior level, at their grandfather's level, at Hefer's level. So that's another read of how we get to 10. Okay, so what we've seen today is the assignment of the land to the daughters of Tzlafchad, and what we'll see, God willing, tomorrow is the cities and boundaries of Menasheh, followed by the complaint that is lodged by Bnei Yosef, because they, it seems they're saying, they don't have enough land.